listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Spirit Born, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, March 12th, 2017.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. Well, sort of. Mostly. But as I discovered, when I moved to a new workspace after 8 years in my former job, not entirely. My own childish fears were revealed to me at the end of my first happy and long-anticipated day in my new office. I had spent 8 long years in a cold, brick, windowless office with tile floors and no carpet. And I finally moved into a new office. It was a beautiful little space. It had a window to a garden with a fountain in it. It was perfect. It was just at the back of the A-frame chapel, which we had recently converted into a youth room. The old chapel, whose roof creaked and moaned when the wind rose in the evening. That first day, stepping outside of my cozy office with the bright lights and the friendly books and the rocking chair, into that dark hallway with the chapel at my back. I stepped past that into the dark church library and past that hallway down the steps with the doors that opened into dark, empty rooms, past the steps down into the empty fellowship hall, past the half-open door to the conference room. I did not saunter. Once I was safely in my car with the doors locked, and yes, I did just glance into the back to make sure it was empty, I burst out laughing at my own ridiculousness, and I vowed never to watch Criminal Minds ever again. But if I'm honest, I did not saunter the next night either, or many nights after that. And I will confess that to this day, on the rare occasions when I arrive home to a dark and empty house, I spend a slightly undignified amount of time and energy lighting up the whole house before I turn out the lights for sleep. I may be extreme, but I imagine I am not alone. Night and darkness remain potent symbols for all that is unknown, frightening, and dangerous. But there is the other side of darkness, another experience of darkness that runs right alongside the experience of fear. The experience of night and darkness as rich and full and quiet and good. Now, my husband David is not afraid of the dark. He grew up in a small town, a really small town of 2,500 people. There are no stoplights at all. There's no major industry. And while there are lights in town, street lights and lights on stores and things, there is only the light on the tall New England steeple that stays on all night. Everything else turns off at a certain moment. Because his parents were both teachers, once the 4th of July came, the whole family moved up to the lake. They moved up to camp, as they called it, for the rest of the summer. And there, on a moonless night, one can experience a kind of dark that we urban and suburban dwellers often forget even exists. For David, this is a perfect time to sit on the dock or to go for a short walk through the woods to the end of the point. And he likes to do that without a flashlight. He insists that if we turn our flashlights off, our eyes will be accustomed to the dark and it will be good. He is both alert and appreciative, and also perfectly at ease in the dark. I've got the alert part down. I'm working on the perfectly at ease. But I have developed a sort of wary affection for the dark, at least in that one familiar place. The song, The Music of the Night, from the musical The Phantom of the Opera, captures this double nature of darkness. Nighttime sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness stirs and wakes imagination. Senses alert to both beauty and danger, imagination filled with whatever story we allow, we can learn to revel in darkness. Now Nicodemus, under cover of darkness, went at night to see Jesus, because he had seen in the daylight the signs that Jesus had done. Why did he go at night? Maybe he wanted to remain undetected. Maybe he was convinced that he would lose his position and influence if his friends and colleagues discovered him seeking answers from this unlearned Galilean peasant, or if they heard him address Jesus as rabbi. And poor Nicodemus, what a confusing set of answers he got for his troubles. First, he's caught up in a play on words, a play which really only works in the Greek. To his first affirmation that Jesus must be, in fact, a teacher from God, since only someone who has come from God could do the powerful works that Jesus has been doing, Jesus tells him, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Anothen in Greek. Anothen, Nicodemus asks, born again? Same verb, two meanings. From above and anew. But even when he understands that Jesus is talking about some other kind of birth, a birth of water and the Spirit, a birth from above, he's still confounded. How can this be? In this darkness and nighttime, a seed is planted in Nicodemus. He remains one of the Pharisees, the group that the author of the Gospel of John uses to symbolize those who don't follow Jesus, those who remain in darkness and fail to see the light. But he also comes back, Nicodemus does, at central moments in the gospel. He enters the story next as an advocate for Jesus with the Sanhedrin. Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the Festival of Booths, one of the three annual pilgrimage festivals, and Jesus had astonished the crowds with his teaching. He is, after all, a peasant and a Galilean, not one who should have had great learning. And then, on the last day of the festival, the great day, Jesus cries out to the crowd and says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Water and spirit and life are woven together again, and the chief priests and Pharisees are offended, and they want the temple police to arrest Jesus immediately. Nicodemus, still one of them, still a Pharisee, nevertheless stands up to the others and says, "Our law does not judge people without first giving a hearing, does it?" The others insult Nicodemus and point out that he too has lowly heritage of being a Galilean. But the moment of threat passes, and Jesus is not arrested, at least not before the right hour. Later, after Jesus' death, Arimathea, a secret disciple, asked to be allowed to take Jesus' body away. And it is this same Nicodemus who first came to Jesus at night, who brought a costly mixture of myrrh and aloe to prepare Jesus' body for burial. He's still never identified as one of the followers who comes to Jesus in the daylight to be known as his disciple. He straddles two worlds, those who are in darkness and those who have come into the light. I love Nicodemus, trying so hard to be in both places, wanting to understand Jesus, speaking up bravely in his defense, spending his wealth and bringing his tenderness and adoration only when Jesus is dead. I imagine him brokenhearted, I imagine him full of longing. When the gentle dark settles around you at night, but sleep does not come, as the darkness heightens each sensation in the stillness, what are the questions that you ask? As the busyness and noise of the day drop away, what do you hear? Do you listen for the spirit which cannot be contained, but only celebrated? Do you feel the energy of the eternal life of which you are already a part, and which is already a part of you, here, now? Do you rest in the thought that God so loved the world that God sent his Son to it, to us? Do you remember that God did not send the Son so God could start loving us once Jesus finished what he came to do, but because God already loved us? God sent Jesus so that we could see and believe. Now, this word believe has been used cruelly throughout Christian history to separate, divide, and condemn. The Latin word credo is the word from which we get our word the creeds, those lists of assertions or ideas to which one must assent and which become a test of belonging. But the Greek word behind this, behind the English and behind the Latin, pistuo, also means to trust. And that's what I think we should hear in John, the invitation not to think the right way, but to trust the right way, and to act out of that trust. Marcus Borg sometimes translated pistuo as not believe, but belove. Under cover of night, Nicodemus the Pharisee, intrigued by Jesus, wanting to know more, is invited into newness of spirit and a relationship of belovedness with God. And so are we. I wonder if we can allow the seeds planted in the fertile, soft darkness to grow into the boldness of Nicodemus defending Jesus to the Sanhedrin, and the tenderness of Nicodemus lovingly tending to Jesus' crucified body. I have seen it here, the way this community acts boldly, trusting in God. In the donation of land to create housing for AIDS patients, in the early adoption of the open and affirming identity, and in our ongoing commitment to being a welcoming and inclusive community. I see it in a search for understanding of the world and a commitment to work for peace in Palestine, Israel, faithful even when we disagree with sometimes on strategy, agreeing that God calls us to work for peace. Right now, I see this boldness in the groups exploring the sanctuary movement and how to become an immigrant welcoming church. I see it in the UCC curriculum on white privilege and how it works to keep people of color always disadvantaged, even when we white folks don't know that we are participating. All of these are ways of boldly claiming the teachings of Jesus as our path. And I see our congregation mirroring the loving tenderness of Nicodemus. I have seen the way this congregation lovingly tends to each other in times of struggle, loss, or pain, and the way we tenderly care for Jesus by caring for Jesus in the face of our sisters and brothers. At Hoyt Street, in Clackamas Service Center, and the Northwest Pilot Project, and the schools we support in Myanmar, and so many other ways. In the dark, in the night, Nicodemus is beginning the journey toward being born from above. In the dark, in the night, the Spirit is blowing its way into the life of Nicodemus. Maybe Nicodemus only thinks he is making a night journey because he wants to avoid his friends and neighbors. Maybe he's really making a night journey so that Jesus, the light of the world, can speak the kind of words that have to be heard in the softness of the dark. The kind of words that have to take root deep within us as we learn to live and enter ever more deeply into the Spirit, which is also breath. In the words of the poet and pastor Steve Holmes, unless you were born anew, you cannot see the realm of God. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You cannot get life, earn it, keep it, store it up like money. It is breath, spirit. You receive it, then you release it, and become open to receive it again. You cannot hold it. You must receive it as God gives it to you. Let go of your life, accomplishments and mistakes, all you deserve, good and bad, and instead, receive it anew from God, in this moment, a single breath. Let your repentance be simply to breathe, to receive and let go. All the things you have to do and all the things you want to do disappear into the breath. It is a death and resurrection. Let yourself disappear into the breath, the spirit, and be born again. Go slow enough to live in the breath, to surrender the life you build and hoard, and to live the life God gives you. Falling and rising, your breath is the gift of life from God, made new in every moment. Breathe gently, breathe deeply, breathe life.
Listen.